We don't know what China can do with this kind of social data in aggregate, what it tells China about our society.
Concerns about the widespread use of Chinese apps. It's Wednesday, November 6th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're glad to have you with us today. You can also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, India chokes on unprecedented air pollution, driving in Afghanistan, tourism hit by trade and protest, banning fur, and scooting through the streets. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A U.S. Senate subcommittee opening hearings Tuesday examining the tech industry's possible ties to China was without anyone from Apple and from the Chinese-owned social media app TikTok, both refusing to send a representative to Washington's hearing. The subcommittee is chaired by Senator Josh Hawley, who opened the hearing facing two empty chairs with Apple and TikTok name cards placed on a desk in front of the chairs. Hawley's opening statement was aimed first at TikTok.
The threat isn't just to children's privacy. It's a threat to our national security. We don't know what China can do with this kind of social data in aggregate, what it tells China about our society. They can see who we talk to, what we talk about, where we congregate, what we capture on video. Not all of TikTok's users are just kids. Some work in government or for the military. Others are celebrities or work for major American companies in positions of influence. What does it mean for China to have a window into such users' social lives? Why would we leave that window open?
Hawley then turned to Apple's relationship with Beijing.
China is essential to Apple's bottom line, both on the supply and the demand sides of their business. Apple's investments in Chinese production have helped build the scientific and manufacturing capacity of America's greatest geopolitical rival. But Chinese demand is even more critical to Apple's future. And to service that demand, Apple is risking compromise with authoritarianism.
Apple said it had no comment on its decision not to send a representative to the hearing. TikTok said it was not able to send a suitable delegate on short notice, but was committed to working productively with Congress. If you're not familiar with TikTok, the video app has become the world's most downloaded app. Teenagers are fueling the craze by posting videos as short as 15 seconds of themselves, dancing, lip-syncing, being silly, and generally showing off. Michelle Quinn talked to teenagers about why TikTok is important to them.
For teenagers, the app TikTok is a way to have fun.
I think some of the videos that people make are really funny, and it's a good way to make videos online, and it's a good way to like connect with some people.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding.
TikTok users make short videos, 15 to 60 seconds long, of themselves lip-syncing, showing off, dancing. They post the video to their followers.
And then I was like, I'm tired of just watching. I'm trying to make some so I can actually go viral. So what you do is you scroll through a TikTok and you see a sound that you like, right?
Users find a sound. It could be a song, a sentence, or another person's TikTok. Every day, TikTok's algorithm offers more than 1 billion users new videos to watch.
I usually do memes or dance ones, basically, because those are the fun ones and they take forever to learn, but like it's fun once you get it. I had a bunch of friends doing this. It's funny, especially when it's a tiny group of people and you get to connect with the audio and stuff like that. It's fun to make.
And it's addictive.
The thing about TikTok is you're like, oh, I'll just go on TikTok for a few minutes, and you go on and then you get like you're scrolling and you just end up scrolling for hours and hours and hours.
These students say TikTok has given them a new way to entertain and be entertained. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Oakland, California.
As TikTok faces investigation by the U.S. government over potential national security concerns, the democracy watchdog group Freedom House released a report Tuesday painting a bleak outlook for the way that many governments are using social media. The Freedom House report says governments spy on us while others seek to manipulate elections. VOA's Arash Arabasadi spoke with one of the authors of the report and has this story.
According to a new report by the Washington-based nonprofit Freedom House, social media liberties are trending down.
Our two main themes this year were looking at how governments are using social media to undermine their own elections and also monitor their citizens.
Freedom House analyst Ali Funk co-authored Freedom on the Net 2019. The report says 40 of 65 countries with internet freedom have advanced social media surveillance programs.
We found that domestic actors, whether that be government or politicians that are seeking to be elected, actually use the internet to undermine a fair and free election in their country. And the most common tactic that they use was the spread of political propaganda and disinformation.
The most often used tool was the spread of disinformation, mostly by far-right politicians. Funk says the power of social media emerged in the Arab Spring.
I don't know if everybody realized how quickly this was going to be turned, how governments were going to use this against us. Governments have figured out, like, oh, wait, we can actually use the internet against our own citizens.
Government attempts to curb internet freedoms can backfire, as was the case in Moscow this summer after the Kremlin stymied opposition political candidates. Anti-government protesters used social media to organize.
The protesters there were acutely aware that the government was probably watching or surveilling. So they started using code words for different protest movements, and they started to organize on these platforms as well to get administrative aid to somebody who was maybe arrested or to get food or other water to protesters.
This is the 10th time a Freedom of the Net study has been published since 2009. The reports find that internet freedoms dropped annually for each of those years. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. United Nations says Trump tariff costs China $35 billion and hurts both economies. Pompeo says U.S. remains deeply troubled by China's mistreatment of Uyghur and other Muslim minorities. Agent Orange, still a major concern for Vietnam. Industrial growth creates nagging air pollution in Vietnam. Heading into 2020, Trump defends faltering North Korea talks as a win. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. India has become one of the world's top three countries with the worst air quality, and its capital is the world's most polluted city. According to the World Air Quality Project, the air quality index above 150 is considered unhealthy, but the levels in New Delhi have been well above 300, the highest indicator for hazardous air quality. In an effort to reduce the dangerous levels, authorities have restricted vehicle use in the city. VOA's Slatika Hoke has more.
New Delhi and the surrounding area saw record-breaking air pollution over the weekend. The city's government has declared a public health emergency and imposed restrictions on the use of vehicles. Until November 15th, cars with odd numbers on their tags drive one day and cars with even numbers the next day. People who try to drive into Delhi on Monday with registration tags ending in an odd number were stopped.
I did not know that the odd even rule was starting from today. I came to Delhi for some work last night and I was returning home. When I saw the signs, I tried to escape quickly, but I was caught. I won't make the same mistake again.
Flights have been delayed or cancelled at Delhi's Indira Gandhi International Airport, and authorities have also shut area schools and ordered all construction work to stop in an effort to slash pollution.
Here at the airport, we are facing difficulty breathing. There's a burning sensation as if someone had put chili pepper in my eyes.
Health officials warn that everyone is at risk of serious health effects. People venturing into the streets donned breathing masks, as residents of Chinese capital Beijing used to have to do. A tourist from China visiting India's mausoleum Taj Mahal, more than 300 kilometers south of New Delhi, encountered a hazy sight.
We landed here on Friday, and it was pretty bad. It was hard to look outside. We see that it's swinging a lot. So last night, we stayed in Delhi. Last night, it was actually pretty good and we could see very far. But then again, this morning, it was pretty bad again.
20 years ago, China's capital, Beijing, was one of the world's most polluted cities due to widespread coal combustion and motor vehicle traffic. But then the government adopted systematic and intensive measures to improve the air quality. Today, residents of Beijing and other big Chinese cities can walk out without breathing masks, and there are plans for continued improvements. Much of the reduction in pollutants came from measures to control coal-fired boilers, provide cleaner domestic fuels, and industrial restructuring. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia News, North Korea has lashed out at the United States for mentioning Pyongyang in its annual report on state sponsors of terrorism, saying the report is an example of Washington's hostile policy that is limiting chances for dialogue. The U.S. redesignated North Korea as a state sponsor of terror in 2017. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Dozens of women in Bamyan province of Afghanistan recently received their driver's licenses after taking driving tests monitored by local traffic police. VOA's Zafar Bamyani has this report, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
Central Afghanistan's Bamyan province is widely known for its two large historic Buddha statues destroyed by the Taliban in 2001. Since then, the Taliban has been ousted and Bamyan has become one of the country's safest provinces. With security in place, locals are now enjoying freedom and development. For the first time in Bamyan, a group of 58 women have received their driver's licenses after completing an 8-week training program.
I'm very happy. Driving a car is important. Every individual should learn this skill and use their legal rights.
Our society is traditional. Maybe they do not welcome well, but fortunately here in Bamyan, there is less challenge.
In a conservative country like Afghanistan, religious scholars are highly respected. And while most scholars oppose women taking part in music, driving seems to be accepted.
There is no probation for women to drive a car as long as they observe Islamic hijab.
There are roughly 100 women driving in Bamyan. Many say while they do turn heads, they see a better future ahead.
I feel proud when I drive. I am glad I have this opportunity to drive as a woman.
It's a good thing that women are driving. It shows improvement and progress. In other countries, women are pilots or doctors. I have no problem with women driving. I think they are really good drivers. They drive with a lot of patience.
Instructors say women are eager to learn.
This group of women we have been training since the beginning of the year are the most intelligent and most interested of all the ones.
Bamyan's traffic police expect the number of women taking part in driving courses to increase significantly in the upcoming year. For Zafar Bamyani in Bamyan, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Coming up, protests and trade topple tourism. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to tap Stephen Biegun, the special representative for North Korea, as Deputy Secretary of State, may spur denuclearization talks. Experts think Biegun's nomination signals the Trump administration's effort to elevate the significance of engaging in talks with North Korea. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for this and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, helping to prop up Hong Kong tourism and Thailand's tourists hit by the trade war are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Ira Melman.
Hong Kong's government is worried about its vital tourism industry after 5 months of protest, but tourists expressed their optimism about visiting the besieged city.
I was surprised at the hotel prices, so that was good. It was quite a positive, and the flights too.
Tourist numbers to the metropolis began to drop in July by about 5% year on year. In August, it plunged by nearly 40%. Ronald Wu is chairman of the Hong Kong Association of Travel Agents.
With such a dramatic drop, it's definitely a very difficult time for not only the tourism industry, but also for the retail, the hotels, and pretty much I would say the entire Hong Kong is currently going through a very, very difficult time.
The government announced $12 million U.S. dollars in subsidies to travel agencies and relevant industries such as hotels, airlines, and retail, all of which have lost business since the unrest broke out in June. The plan is expected to start in November and run until March of next year. The subsidies are given to travel agencies rather than tourists, so some are wondering how this plan can encourage more tourists to visit Hong Kong. Many, like this tour guide, agree that the key to reviving Hong Kong's tourism is not money, but the restoration of peace and order as soon as possible. Hotels on Thailand's most popular holiday island have been forced to slash prices, with rooms left vacant and beaches sparse as tourists struggle with a plunge in Chinese visitors caused by the U.S. trade war and a stronger baht. Known for its beaches and nightlife, sun-drenched Phuket was the most visited destination in the country last year after Bangkok, and a good gauge of the state of its crucial travel industry. Tourism accounts for 18% of Thailand's gross domestic product, and Chinese holidaymakers make up more than a quarter of the total arrivals. But while 2.2 million people from the country visited in 2018, numbers for January through September were down almost a fifth on the year. The problem is not just in Phuket. Seaside resorts of Pattaya and the mainland and Koh Samui Island are also struggling to fill rooms. Trade tensions with the U.S. have already made some Chinese reluctant to take holidays owing to uncertainty back home, while the Thai baht has risen about 10% against the yuan this year. New hoteliers and tour package operators are targeting visitors from elsewhere, particularly India, which experts see as a huge untapped market. For VOA Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
This news break from VOA Asia. A senior Chinese official says President Xi Jinping's surprise meeting with Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam was a vote of confidence in her government's ability to tackle 5 months of anti-government protests that have rocked the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. You'll find all the big stories like this throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, in October, California became the first U.S. state to ban sales of animal fur products. The decision made animal lovers happy, but it's not selling well with stores that sell fur. Angela Bagsarian has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Evner Hyatt's great-grandfather opened his first fur store in Russia before immigrating to the United States. Back then, he says fur was special because only the very rich could afford it. These days, it's just as rare, but for a different reason.
My customers for the last year and a half already have been very confused about the ban. Can we wear fur? Can we not wear fur? Is it okay? Is somebody going to throw something on us? Is it we're going to go to jail, some people tell me.
The reason for the confusion, a series of laws signed by California Governor Gavin Newsom that, among other things, ban sales of new clothing and accessories made of fur. The cruelty of the whole process is what prompted lawmakers to go ahead with the new law. Prohibiting killing animals for their fur means killing the fur business, says Hyatt. And that, in turn, will leave many people unemployed.
The freedom of choice. Tomorrow somebody is going to come and tell you that you cannot eat hamburgers anymore. I want to see what people will do that own McDonald's and Burger Kings and everything, because they kill animals for food a million times more than what it's used for furs. We're not a very strong industry.
Yelena Makarova-Ali, co-owner of a Los Angeles showroom, believes the fight is already lost.
so she decided to bring fall fur coats and jackets from Italy. On top of that, she believes it makes little sense to wear fur coats in the state where the climate is so mild and so warm.
We tried buying a few natural fur coats in Italy and bringing them here, but to my surprise, no one seems to be interested.
The law will come into force in 2023, and it is likely New York State will follow suit. Those who work in the natural fur industry hope to bring the matter to court, accusing California authorities of discrimination. Frangelina Bagdasarian in Los Angeles, NRI's VOA News.
In the age of technology, walking to get around doesn't have to slow you down. As consumers, we've got plenty of options. We can call taxi-like services such as Uber or Lyft, rent a bicycle by just using our phones. But the most recent form of transportation is taking cities across the globe by storm. VOA's Sadia Sebranheil informs us about the pros and cons of scootering around Washington, D.C.
Powered by a battery, electric scooters or e-scooters can be seen zipping around the streets of Washington, D.C. For tourists coming to the U.S. Capitol, these colorful scooters have become the latest attraction.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Because they're great fun. Because it's really fun and it's a lot quicker than walking.
They have quickly become an option for people who aren't going far enough to justify a taxi but don't want to wait for a bus or walk.
We're just really trying to provide options to the district residents, to our visitors, low-cost options. And scooters is just another low-cost option that allows people to be able to traverse throughout the city. And it seems to be a very economical route as well as good on for the environment as well.
But not everyone is on board. The growing number of scooters taking over sidewalks bothers many. D.C. City Council member Mary Che has introduced a bill to ban scooters from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. to reduce accidents in the dark. But officials from one scooter company disagree with the late-night ban and insist the scooters are perfectly safe if riders follow the rules.
In our app, when you open up our app, it says very simply, not to ride on the sidewalk, ride in a bike lane when the bike lane arises. And also we do a thing called geofencing, which is in the app there's a map and it says where you can and cannot go, basically.
Though we don't see many riders actually using helmets.
The problem is nobody wears a helmet.
Doesn't really fit in my backpack.
There are 8 different companies offering e-scooter services in Washington, D.C. with thousands of daily users. Everett Lott says these scooters do not pose a safety risk.
We've had about 150 incidents reported during about an 8-month time span. And again, less than 25% of those were happening during the evening times. But in terms of specific types of injuries, I haven't seen any data to reflect that.
Some scooter companies offer training for first-time riders. But as with the helmet, there haven't been many takers. Sadia Zebranja, VOA News, Washington.
VOA's Rick Pantaleo takes a moment to warn us about the effects of measles.
This is Science in a Minute.
The World Health Organization says there have been more measles cases reported in the first 6 months of 2019 than in any year since 2006. Two new and separate studies provide evidence that, along with getting the highly infectious and dangerous disease, the measles virus can also wipe out the immune system's memory. The studies published in the journals Science and Science Immunology suggest the measles virus can destroy 11% to 73% of the antibodies created previously by the immune system to protect against different viral and bacterial infections. This means that immunity we had against diseases such as influenza, herpes virus, to bacteria that cause pneumonia and skin infections would be compromised. Researchers in both studies suggest their findings emphasize the importance of being vaccinated against the measles. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. In addition to finding us in many places online, you can hear us on the radio. Voice of Chungrung, Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chungrung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan, carries our program, and we say hello and thank you to everyone who is listening there today. And no matter where you are listening, we also invite you to find our videos. VOA Asia is on YouTube. And we're also on Twitter. You can follow us in that same handle, VOA Asia. We're very easy to find. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, for today's program, engineer Dan Crafton, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and our interns, Hyung and Afra. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a super day.